When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is sponsored by Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. Upcoming featured entertainment includes The Steel Woods on April 26th and Little River Band on May 3rd. Details and tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Comedian Chelsea Handler performs live at the Lyric in Baltimore, Maryland tomorrow night. She joined me to preview the show, as well as TV memories of Chelsea lately and her stand-up specials. Hey, Chelsea Handler, hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
WTOP in Washington, D.C. I'm here. Hi.
Hey, yes, we're talking because you're coming to the Lyric in Baltimore tomorrow. So it's going to be exciting. And it's kind of a crazy time for Baltimore. It's been exciting. You know, the Orioles are under new management on the plus side, but on the sad side, there was the tragic collapse of that FSK bridge. You're getting an interesting time for Baltimore. But yeah. Tell us about the story. What's it called? Little Big Bitch Tour?
No, no. Can you say it? Little Big Bitch Tour. It's my Little Big Bitch stand-up tour. I've been touring for a while, and I'm, it's a lot of childhood stories. It's a lot of good, juicy stories. I have a lot of funny stories about men who have been canceled that I've had interactions with, like Bill Cosby. I have a funny story about him. Not a lot of people can say that. I have a great Woody Allen story about having dinner with Woody Allen and what I said to him, because I have these outbursts, you know, like I can't control myself when I'm around people who have done something that I find to be disgusting. I have a great George W. Bush story about going to Kenny Bunkport, the compound, on three edibles. So it's just chock-filled of childhood stories, then adult stories. My life is pretty outlandish. So I just love to get up on stage and share them all and, you know, remind everybody about togetherness and laughter and joyfulness.
Nice. So there's a whole segment of this about good stories about canceled people. That's great. And then the poster, of course, well, ties into the title, Little Big Bitch. But the poster is a childhood photo of you with a crown drawn on in pink marker. So does that mean you mine plenty of material from childhood in this one, too?
Yeah, I was very much the way that I am when I was born. I was pissed when I was born. I looked at my family, my parents, and my I already had five other siblings. I was like, who's in charge around here? Like, do we even have a savings account?
It just popped out pissed off right from the jump.
I was pissed. I was like, I wanted to upward mobilize from the time I was three. I was like, how do I split ties with these people? Because their future is not my future. I saw bigger things for myself than New Jersey and, you know, flying coach. I was like, no. I have big plans and you guys want to actually follow my lead. But when you're the youngest of six children, you know, nobody takes you seriously until you start to prove them wrong. And now they take me very seriously, my family. And that is a big point of pride.
Well, they have to, because otherwise they'll end up in your bits. You know, they have to take you seriously.
Well, they do anyway. They have no immunity. They have, you know, they don't know what I'm going to write, what I'm going to share in my books or my stand-up or my podcast. So, I mean, it's very scary to even be related to me.
Absolutely, I'm sure. Well, speaking of that, you know, you're talking about growing up. I know you're born in New Jersey in like the 70s, so grew up mostly probably in like the 80s, but you know, of your memories. But who were your comedy idols growing up, men and women?
Oh, Bill Cosby. That was my comedy idol growing up. That went right out the window. Yeah. That the Cosby Show. I watched
Huxtables
that show.
Were great, man. Come on.
I wanted my dad to be more like Bill Cosby. I wanted him to be more professional. I wanted him to open up his own gynecological practice in our basement. I wanted to be sisters with Rudy and Vanessa. And of course, obviously, I wanted to sleep with Theo. But I wanted to be a member of that family big time. So obviously, that was my number one comedy hero.
Wait, Theo wearing the Gordon Gartrell shirt? That's...
Oh, no, I didn't picture what he would be wearing. Actually, I hoped he wouldn't be wearing anything. So, you know, I was young. I was before I was ready for action.
How about any female comedians back then? What would that have been, like a Lily Tomlin era? I'm trying to think, who were the big ones at the time?
No, it was Roseanne. I mean, basically everyone I admired is awful. So it was Roseanne.
We can
Roseanne.
Blame you for all of your comedy idols. We can blame you for them later.
Roseanne and Bill Cosby, my two idols.
Well, I mean, the Roseanne was hilarious. That and John Goodman, that show was hilarious.
Yeah, it was not so funny anymore.
I know, right? So both names sort of self-destructed before our very eyes. But, you know, they at least inspired you to, you know, pursue that. Well, actually, how did you decide to pursue it, you know, more seriously and be like, oh, I think I could make a go at this stand-up thing?
Honestly, I got a DUI when I was 21 and I went to DUI school class. They make you go once a week and shame you, you know, for your behavior, which of course is terrible, and it works because I've never had one since. But when I was young and stupid, I went and you have to get up and tell your DUI story in front of the whole class. And I was so nervous, like the idea of public speaking was like, you know, just so nerve wracking. I would get diarrhea every time I went to this class because I was like, oh my God, I have to get up. They're going to call on me. And I managed to evade it until the very last class. And then I got up and told my story, which was actually really funny because I called the cop racist. Meanwhile, we were both white. None of it made a lot of sense. I had to go to like women's county prison in Los Angeles for like 48 hours because their systems broke. So I was stuck there. And so I was telling this story on stage and everyone came up after and said, hey, you know, you should be a stand-up comedian. Like that is so funny. And the guy that was running the school, the DUI class, came up to me after and said, you know, first of all, get off the stage. This isn't a comedy club. Secondly, you should pursue whatever, you know, you should pursue this. He said, you really are a good storyteller. And so the worst decision of my life ended up getting me to the best decision of my life, which was starting to do stand-up. And I would never have done it had I not been to that class and people told me that I should. I was like, okay, I'll try.
Well, so, there you go, kids. If you hear that, if you're wondering what you want to be when you grow up, follow the thing that gives you diarrhea.
Always, always follow the diarrhea.
Awesome. But no, that usually means that maybe, you know, if something's challenging or hard, it usually ends up being good. So if you kind of, you know, if you work at it, then maybe you can have a career like you did. Well, so, all right. So then we'll fast forward a little bit because we won't go through all the early days, but you know, I guess it was Chelsea Handler's show first on E! Real quick in like 06, but then the big one was from 2007 to 2014, I think, Chelsea Lately on E! And I believe at the time you were the only female talk show host on Late Night. I mean, now we have Taylor Tomlinson. You know, we've seen that door, you know, the door break open a little bit. But, you know, how proud of you are you that you sort of shattered that glass ceiling, not to mention made all of us laugh for so long?
Oh, well, that was a joyful experience. 7 years of bliss. It was like being in a fraternity house, that show. You know, we just played practical jokes on each other all day long. We had a really big, successful show, and that was so fun. And yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, or I can only speak for myself, really, even though I really would prefer to speak for everyone. I feel like you don't set out to shatter any glass ceilings. You know, Joan Rivers did host a show before me. So if anyone did it, she did. Sure. And there, every woman that comes before you doing what you do is helping open the door. So you don't think of it in that way. You don't think like, and it's just like, you don't think, oh, I'm the only woman doing this, or I'm the only woman. You just are doing your job and loving it. You're not comparing yourself to the men that are doing it or thinking what it's like to be the only woman. You're just kind of enjoying, you know, doing what you love. I've been so blessed in this life to be able to make a living by being myself, and to make, you know, monetize your personality is is wonderful. Like, I feel so grateful that people care or that I have enough fans that provide me with this life and I get to keep working. I mean, it's been a really long time now that I've been doing stand-up. I took a big break for 6 years when I was burned out, and now I've been back, and this is my third tour in like 4 years. So I'm really loving being on stage, and I love meeting my fans and seeing my fans, and just the live performance is something that I will always treasure.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Absolutely. And during that quote, you know, time you were burned out from stand up when you sort of took a break from it. Now, you know, now you're back with a vengeance, of course. But I want to remind folks of some of the projects you had in that time, because didn't you? Well, I guess you hosted, you went to Netflix and did like a documentary, Chelsea Does, and the talk show Chelsea. But you also started adapting some of your books. I think you've written what, like 6 bestsellers now. But you adapted, what was it? Are You There, Vodka, It's Me, Chelsea, into love that title, into an NBC sitcom, Are You There, Chelsea? And I think now you're doing, what was it, Life Will Be the Death of Me, that you're adapting that book into a TV series too, right? So talk about why those, how rewarding writing those books are and how they're fodder now for you to sort of star in your own sitcom.
Well, yeah, I mean, my books are all personal stories. There's a lot of overlap between the stand-up, my podcast. I tell personal stories a lot too. Dear Chelsea, my podcast is called. And then and my books, it kind of all is interwoven, you know, like my stories are all true stories. So they kind of work their way through. I always have these outlandish experiences. So, you know, they can work in books. They can work in the medium of stand-up. I love storytelling. That is my favorite thing to do, is tell a good story. And I just have them. That wherever I go, a story happens, because I'm a hot mess. And I love people, you know, so I get myself into lots of tricky situations and embarrassing ones as well. And so it's just all about sharing, you know. Some people don't like to share their personal life. That's what I do for a living.
Awesome. Well, as you sort of mentioned, I mean, it's cool that you're doing all these other projects and books and podcasts and sitcoms, but the bread and butter, of course, is the stand-up. And we're so glad that, you know, I know you said you were burned out, but we're so glad that you came back and started doing. I think you earned a Grammy nomination for, what was it, Evolution, that stand-up special on HBO Max. Was that a pandemic one? Did you write a lot of that in the pandemic, or was that, most of the material probably been written right before?
That was like based on my last book, Life Will Be the Death of Me. I turned basically that into a stand-up show by making it, taking the funny parts and the serious parts. Yes, I did get a Grammy nomination. That was very exciting and very surprising. I didn't even know you could get a Grammy nomination for stand-up, and now I do. But yeah, that was for my HBO Max special. That was my first special back on the special scene. Then I did one for Netflix last year called Revolution. And then I'm filming my next special for Netflix at the end of this tour. I don't know what else rhymes with evolution besides revolution. Devolution. That's actually a good title. It's devolution.
Did you just come up with that here, or was that like, has that been, you know, swirling around in the brain for a little bit?
No, I just said it out loud.
It's on the spot. It's, yeah. That's how the best ones come. Yeah. Well, yeah. So Evolution, the HBO Max one, I think was when you were talking about, you know, tripping on acid during the SATs, right? And then Revolution, the Netflix, my wife and I just watched that recently and laughed our butts off. That I think my favorite bit in that, or at the line, forgive me if I butcher it, it was something like, I know I don't have the skills to raise a baby, but I've rescued 9 dogs. I've returned 4.
Yes. I'm not the best. I know where my limits are, and they don't lie in parenting. So at least with rescuing a dog, you're like, listen, it could have been worse if I had left you there at the rescue, but I rescued you. So don't complain about anything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think what, I mean, that pretty much brings us up to the present, but I guess what else have you, oh, you guessed you were one of the guest hosts of The Daily Show. I mean, bravo, Trevor Noah, taking his bow, and great seeing Jon Stewart back lately, especially building up into this heated, crazy election time that we live in. But how cool was it to, you know, feeling on The Daily Show?
It was fun. I mean, it was great. I love sounding off about whatever nonsense is happening in our world, you know, political, social, all of it. It's all, there's so much to choose from. So I like that medium, it's, you know, kind of regurgitating the news. I like that. And I like commenting on whatever's going on. So all of those mediums are fun for me, you know, and it's nice to be able to go in and do that, you know, like that's the skill set I have. So it's fun.
Absolutely. And we don't have to get into anything overtly political if you don't want, but I'll just open the mic to you. Have you seen a crazier time in the world? I mean, it's bat blank. It's bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just listened to a podcast about Trump falling asleep in his own trial yesterday. So that was pretty entertaining, sad, scary, but also entertaining. So I hope we can just keep the entertaining part and then it never really comes to fruition. I'm scared of the next election, you know, but I'm trying not to really focus on that until I actually have to.
Yes. Well, I promise no one will be nodding off and falling asleep at the Lyric in Baltimore for Chelsea Handler's tour. It's going to be tomorrow. So, you know, you got to get your tickets now, folks. Do you want to plug? I'm going to throw this up on a podcast as well. I'm on my podcast. You want to plug yours really fast? It's called Dear Chelsea.
Yeah. Dear Chelsea on iHeart. You can listen to it anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, cool. Everyone check that out and head up to Baltimore to the Lyric tomorrow for the stand-up tour. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. This was fun.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.